Yeah, we good? Just a quick preamble, how's that?
Yeah.
Okay, quick preamble. This is an extract from a book called You're Listening to Paul Power. It's about a radio DJ called Paul Power. And he's in the midst of a fairly major crisis and has decided on the spur of the moment that he doesn't want to be a radio DJ anymore. It's a monologue, which means that what you read is what he's saying on air. Hence, you're listening to Paul Power. You're listening to Paul Power on Cream FM. Good morning, Vietnam. It's 8:02. If you've just joined us, try getting up earlier. You might make something of your lives. Just kidding, of course, listeners. But if you have just joined us, today's a very special show. Here's why. It's almost certainly my last show ever. Last show on Cream FM. Last show on any FM. FM? Jesus, I wouldn't even get a gig on Medium Wave after this. Yes, folks, the theme of today's show is career suicide. I'm not playing any songs. The cream of the 60s, 70s and 80s can fuck off. I'm just going to keep talking and talking and talking like this till they drag me talking and talking out of the studio, which could happen at any moment. As soon as anyone with any clout gets wind of the sordid goings-on in this ghost town at the end of the dial, I'm out of here. Let's see what tune I should be playing for you now. Ha! My trusty playlist here says I'm currently not playing More Than a Woman by the Bee Gees. How appropriate. If it weren't for that song, I might not be here now, burying Paul Power. Cut to New York. Yes, New York, New York, that's New York. I'd landed an evening show on the legendary K-Rock. I'm not just being a self-aggrandizing wanker for once. We literally had to call it the legendary K-Rock at all times. You got fined if you didn't. It was like a swear box. $10 in the failed-to-say legendary tin. K-Rock was the dream gig if you happened to be obsessed with getting a career in music radio, which I was. Only there was a teeny-weeny complication. At that stage, it was still a teeny-weeny complication, but it was getting bigger every day. By the time I got the dream offer from the legendary K-Rock, Ray, love of my life, had a baby brewing. There was no way she was going to New York. Absolutely no way. Who can blame her? Would you go and have a baby in a big old place where you don't know a soul and where the kid's dad's going to be running around like a blue-arsed brown noser trying to make it in radio's first division? She assumed she and I were of the same mind. Unfortunate timing, these things happen, other dream gigs will come along, hey-ho. Only I wasn't quite of that mind. I was more of a totally infantile, cloud cuckoo land male mind that went as follows. If I could do the K-Rock thing for what, maybe a year, maybe two, and Ray could bring up our little un, supported by family and friends, then I could return to a top draw gig back in Blighty and our little family would be happily reunited. You're out of your fucking mind, was Ray's response. Unequivocal, you'd think. And yet, like the reformed alcoholic who can't resist a little stroll round the offy, I still pondered the options. You know what it was? The thing that swung it? I'll tell you. It was a present. The New York thing came at the end of April. My birthday's May the 5th. Ray loved giving presents, and she was brilliant at it. Always knew exactly what I wanted, even if I didn't have a clue myself. And this birthday, I knew she'd nailed it. You could tell because she had a glint in her eye when she told me she'd been shopping. She's very pleased with herself, I thought. This one's going to be a belter. The day came. She made me breakfast in bed. Nice baguette, toasted, bit of bon maman, apricot. Lovely. Then came presents. I opened one or two. A book, a CD, perfectly chosen. Then she said, now this one. And handed me this small, squishy parcel, grinning from ear to ear. I knew this was the one. I opened it. It was clothing of some kind. I glimpsed an orange pattern. Not obviously my kind of pattern. Are those really shamrocks, I'm thinking? But okay, we'll go with it. I unfolded the thing inside. Only it wasn't a thing, it was things. Three things. Three little people-shaped things. Where there should have been a Paul Smith V-neck, there was a trio of headless gingerbread men. "They're bodysuits," said Ray nervously, sensing something's up. "For the baby." "Clothes for the baby? On my birthday?" I didn't freak out there and then. I poker-faced it. Ray knew something was up, but she didn't get it out of me. That day, I phoned K-Rock on the sly and said yes. Then, a few weeks later, I disappeared. Off to New York. Just like that. Gone. So there's my next revelation for you, listeners. I walked out on my girlfriend and her 3-month-old bun in the oven. We just had the first scan. It wasn't looking much like a bun anymore. Paul Power, careerist coward. New Yorkers are the most passionate rock fans in the world. I was talking to thousands of them every day, and most of them talked back. They'd get on the phone and explain at length why song A was better than song B. "Paul, don't get me wrong. Living on a Prayer, it's okay. But that blue-collar angst, that Springsteen light, that was not what Jovi was about. Now you give love a bad name. That, my friend, is quintessential Jovi. Boys versus girls. You promised me heaven, then put me through hell. I'm telling you, man, that's war poetry." And so on. Or it might be something short and sweet, but no less passionate. I took a call from one guy. All he said was, "Paul Power, you rock, man." And hung up. It doesn't get much better than that. Paul Power couldn't get enough of it. But after a couple of weeks, Jason, the guy who ran the station, grabbed me and said, "Let's go get a cup of coffee." We went to a diner around the corner. "Paul, man," he said, "this is New York City. Rock and roll is what drives this place. You can smell it. Here, people live it, man, 24/7. "Sure, Jason," I said. "I think I'm getting that." Jason shook his head. "Paul, man, you got to find me some more energy, buddy." "Okay, Jace," I said. "I'll give it a go." "Just give me more energy," he said. In New York, you don't give it a go. You just get it. So my next show, I really gave it some welly. Quick bit of chat, weather, traffic, blah, 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 then boom, into the next tune. Quick bit of chat, blah, 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 boom, next tune, and so on. For 3 hours. I was practically hyperventilating. It's a good job they have so many adverts in America. I had a chance to breathe. But you know what? I felt like I was getting it. Like I was really living the rock and roll. At the end of the show, I was folding up my lucky headphones, still gulping for air like a doggy paddling toddler, when I felt a paternal hand on my shoulder. "That's a whole lot better, Paul," Jason said. "High fives all round?" "Not quite. But Paul, man, you gotta give me more energy, buddy. More energy." I started hanging out at a place called M'lady's, downtown, corner of Prince and Thompson, and that was not a good location then. Pretty dodgy. Not the prime real estate it is now. The artists and musicians had colonized the spot long before, but any yuppies who took a punt on a loft down there were either very stupid or very savvy. Not like now. Not a decaf soya latte in sight. But I liked it. Some of those big warehouse blocks were built by emigres from Manchester, and now they seemed more real than the huge skyscrapers clustered to the north and south. Once, on my day off, I must have put in 12 hours at M'lady's. I'd gone there in the afternoon and just stayed there, drinking whiskey shots, lining them up like Andy Sipovitz, total cliche, talking bollocks with the locals until chucking out time, whenever that was. Outside it was raining, of course. Clichés love company, don't they? Everyone's always moaning about the rain in Manchester. Everyone's always moaning about everything in Manchester, to be fair, but the rain's usually up there in the list of popular gripes. I haven't seen the stats, but I don't reckon New York gets any less rain than Manchester. It just gets it in a few massive doses. When it rains in New York, it buckets it down. Within seconds, the gutters are rivers, 3-foot geysers are shooting out of drains, the roads are flooded. And that was the scene as I wobbled my way out of the bar that night. Luckily for me, a cab was just passing. Even more luckily, it stopped. Driver must have been desperate. I wouldn't have picked me up in the state I was in. I had 1 foot here and 1 foot here, good yard apart, my balance all over the shop. You know that thing you can do where you close one eye and if you're lucky the double vision goes single again? I was doing that. It wasn't working. And of course I was soaked from head to foot. But stop he did. He was a huge old black guy with a flat cap and sad eyes. I had to think for a second. Upper West Side, I said. Except I said it like this. Upper West Side. West 107th Street. The driver didn't say anything, didn't nod, didn't blink even. Just swung a right and headed uptown. He had the radio on. That's right, the Bee Gees, More Than a Woman. I'm drunk, feeling chatty. Chatty even by radio DJ verbal diarrhea standards. The Bee Gees, I say. You know what? A lot of people don't realise this, but they're actually from Manchester. Manchester, England? That's where I live. No reaction from the driver. Or lived, I should say. I used to live in Manchester. Now I live here, in New York. Silence. I work in radio, actually. More silence. I try a new angle. You ever wondered what this song is about? I say, still slurring away. No answer. Oh well, I carry on. More than a woman, right? Think about it. What does that mean? Who or what is more than a woman? He's singing about everything that's good about a woman, but there's something else. Listen to the words. I never really looked before. He's just discovered something, right? Something new? Something that makes her, this woman, more than a woman? You with me so far? This thing that makes her more than a woman, it's got to be something that women don't have, right? And if it's something that women don't have, then it's got to be something that men have. See what I'm saying? Still no reaction from the cab driver, but I'm on a roll. It's pretty clear to me that there's only one possible explanation for what's going on here. More than a woman, this woman has a little extra something, a little extra apparatus. That's got to be it. He's singing about a transvestite. Barry Gibb was banging a tranny. I thought that was pretty persuasive and pretty darn funny for 4 a.m. or whatever it was. But the driver didn't laugh. In fact, he didn't do anything. He just kept staring ahead through the rain. I wondered if he'd even heard me. Or was he just ignoring the drunk in the back? I was about to tap him on the shoulder. But then he said something at last. You're wrong, he said. Not in an aggressive way, just like he was stating the facts. Oh, I said. It's not about that at all, he went on. Okay, I said. Surprised that this guy had a view on the subject. Let's hear it then. Here's what he said. See, by 75, 76, the Bee Gees were big. They were a big, successful group. You get me? And what comes with success? Money? Sure. Drugs? Maybe. That's your thing. But what else? That's right. Women. Let me ask you, sir, how many women you had intimate relations with? Me, I said. Caught off guard. How do you answer that one? Oh, I don't know. 20? I said. 20. Huh. See, if you're Barry Gibb, or any of the other goddamn Gibbs, you're going to hit that number in a week. You're going to be sleeping with hundreds, I mean hundreds, of women. And they're going to be a certain kind of women, right? The easy kind. Groupies. Now, groupies have their time and their place, sure they do. But one day there comes a time they all begin to look the same. Don't matter how beautiful, how available, how ready to do weird shit in the sack they are, it's the same goddamn thing, over and over again. And that is what sex, love, whatever you want to call it, means for a Bee Gee in the mid-1970s. That word woman's been twisted into something else, something cheap. So at this point our boy Barry's on the road, touring for maybe the third time in a year, and he meets someone different, a woman who's not a groupie. Maybe she's an electrician working on the show. Maybe she's the manager's wife. Maybe she's a photographer. Don't matter what she is, but the point is this. She's different than all the rest. She's intelligent. She's funny. She's wise. She understands that being a Bee Gee ain't all that. That being a Bee Gee is hard. And most important of all, she loves him for who he is, even when he's being an asshole. Which is a lot, because of all the money and groupies and shit. Our boy Barry falls in love. Bam, big time. He sees what he's been missing all this time. He's been blind. With all them groupies, he never really looked before. Never had no cause to. You hear me? So this woman is not just a woman. Remember what that word represents for these guys. She's something else entirely. This woman is better than a woman. She's more than a woman. She's a different goddamn species. She's the real goddamn deal. Tranny my ass. That's what that song's about. I sobered up like that. Jesus, yes. He was talking about the Bee Gees in the 70s, but he was really talking about me. Of course he was. Ray was more than a woman. She was the real deal. Intelligent, funny, wise. Loved me for me, despite everything. And wasn't there another message here? Another meaning of more than a woman? Ray wasn't just a woman now. Our child was in there too. Woman plus child equals more than a woman. The song made perfect sense. Perfect, tragic sense. And this cabbie had to be some kind of angel, sent to me on a wet, drunken night in New York to save me from a terrible, terrible mistake. Cliche? So what? I gave him a $50 tip, and the next day, as soon as I woke up, I went into the station, found Jason, told him I was quitting. He didn't seem that bothered. Poor man, I have to respect your decision. But I didn't care. I didn't want my big break anymore. I was heading back to Manchester, back to Ray. My little family was going to be reunited. But that's not how it worked out. That was a cliche too far, listeners.
Great American accent. So good.